This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Hello. Welcome to the Undercard, everybody. We're in the low 200s for episodes. I'm not even sure if I know the actual number.
Let's go 206. Let's go 206.
Sure. Sounds about right.
All right, 206.
220, 221, whatever it takes.
It is September 20th, though, if you're listening in the podcast, to give you a reference.
September no, it sure
20th,
is.
2016. We're going to talk the Canelo fight that happened down at Jerry's World, the big stadium, AT&T stadium with 50,000 fans. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We are going to play the feud, and we're going to talk about old family feud a little later. We got to talk a little bit of MMA, but we're just going to start off the show by keeping it regional. So if you listen on a national level, I deeply apologize about that. But we're going
to
start
Jimmy
off.
Says 205. Sorry to interrupt. Jimmy says 205.
Oh, it's episode 205.
Okay.
There we go. So I had an opportunity, Marv, to go this past weekend down to Cincinnati.
Okay.
To catch a Reds game. So
on purpose you went down there?
Right.
Okay.
And so the whole idea about it is me and my son are just trying to see as many ballparks as we possibly can.
Okay. All right. That's admirable.
So a little reference points here. So Comerica Park was built and inhabited in 2000. So Tiger Stadium was done in 1999.
Yeah.
In 2002, Great American Ballpark, which is where the Reds play, is now about. And so you have like a 2-year difference between them.
Okay.
But how much nicer their ballpark is. And I'm talking about the structure of it is very similar. The field playing surface is very similar to Comerica Park, kind of the way the stands are. And it's kind of shaped like that. And you see that in ballparks building. Like you remember how like they become fads. Like you remember the circle ones like Busch Stadium and Citizens Field. All you know, it just people copy each other.
Yeah.
But it's on the waterfront,
okay,
which makes the park. You can catch a ferry from the Hooters in Kentucky and ride it over to the game in Cincinnati, then hop back on the ferry and go to the Hooters, which is on the water in Newport, Kentucky. I remember when the Illiges were trying to make this entertainment district that there was a chance that the ballpark could have been on the water in where the casinos were eventually supposed to go. The moral of the story, what I'm trying to get at is I'm sitting in Cincinnati. God, do we not know what to do with water space. We don't. We have a walkway that goes all the way down past the Renaissance Center.
Sure.
That goes all the way back to where the old Detroit News building used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just grass and walkway. And nice, right? Sure, river walk. But we could be utilizing that so much better. When you see a city that utilizes their waterways like Cincinnati does in throwing a ballpark there and allowing like this whole clustering thing of having all the entertainment district together.
Yeah, but maybe it's my prejudice because I don't like baseball, but I wouldn't want to – honestly, I don't want to see any stadium on the waterfront. I think having a river walk is exactly what should be on the waterfront.
Yeah, but when you get down
it should
past
be a
Joe
park.
Lewis, there's nothing there.
It's just walkway.
It's just
walkway.
Ducks pooping.
Well, if you want to put it down there, fine, but I wouldn't put it
up –
Well,
that's what
like,
we're talking about.
All right,
like,
yeah,
down by where the nice area where that is, there's – they're putting shops and everything in there now.
Yeah, if you want to put it down in
the end pad on – Iserman Drive or whatever.
Well, nobody goes down there, so
that's the whole point.
Well, then put a stadium there,
that
but
area.
But here's the thing too, Joe Louis Arena on their last season, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're moving something that's on the waterway away.
Yeah, but
expand Cobo a little bit.
Yeah, but you can't see any. I mean,
But it's still part of the waterway. You know what I'm saying?
But it also becomes like, quite honestly, I think Joe Louis Arena is ugly.
Oh, it is.
And so, it's a terrible arena. Like having that sit there on the waterfront, like it makes the skyline ugly. Like I would want to get rid of that. I would much rather see a nice park or an amphitheater or something there than
the amphitheater. No, it didn't work.
Well, I'm just saying, like I would rather see something like that there than an ugly stadium.
But you remember the casinos were supposed to go on the waterway.
I was against that too.
But it didn't happen.
Good.
See, I've been to a stadium on the water too. It was baseball. It was the PNC Park in Pittsburgh.
Also on the water. And gorgeous park.
It's beautiful.
Just saying.
I kayaked on that waterway, and even seeing the stadium there, it was really cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm against, like, I think that waterfront areas should be for parks. That's just my opinion. I don't think you should have, you know, like stadiums and a bunch. You want to have a couple of like, you know, office buildings or whatever. I mean, that's inevitable. But like the waterfront should be for parks, and like you shouldn't be putting giant, because then you're like, you put a stadium there. Now you block the view of the water from anybody on the other side of it. You have to be in the stadium.
But there's already buildings like the U.S. Post Office building down there that already block the view from other people.
Sure.
I just think that we don't utilize our infrastructure. Is horrible downtown. It is.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, In-N-Out, boom. They had Oktoberfest going there. Mm-hmm. Who knew Cincinnati was huge into Oktoberfest? They must have a huge German heritage because it was like the biggest party I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
it could be.
Kind of like our St. Patrick's Day, the way we celebrate. You had P. Diddy was throwing his concert, the Bad Boys reunion.
Oh, God, that would be enough to make me leave the city.
in the Reds played two doubleheaders, right? So they played two games. In-N-Out. Didn't sit in 1 ounce.
So they played one doubleheader.
One doubleheader, two games. Okay. Sorry.
I was like, wow, they played four freaking games?
No. So you had that traffic leaving. You had the P. Diddy crowd and everything. There wasn't any traffic.
Because they probably have a public transportation system, right?
I don't know about that. You would have to look that up. I don't know.
I would hope so.
I'm just saying from a driving standpoint, nothing. Now, in retrospect, I've sat in traffic for Taylor Swift, dropping off people to Taylor Swift at Ford Field.
But
and I've been caught in that traffic for 2 hours.
Because part of the problem is we have no public transportation system.
Correct.
To get you in and out of the city. Yeah, to get you in and out of the city. Like, you have to drive your car in. You could park at Greektown and ride the People Mover, I guess, if you wanted. But, like, that's your only form of public transportation until they get the M1 rail up and going, which apparently the first car was delivered.
But it doesn't even go that far.
I know. I'm just saying, like, but, I mean, like, the idea, my understanding is the idea of that is to start running more commuter trains from, like, the western burbs and stuff in – and I mean, for the most part, people going to Red Wings games and stuff, they're from Livonia. Let's be honest.
They will be, at least in the new arena.
Yeah. And so, so, you know, if you're running more, like I know myself, like I really hope that they start running more commuter trains because I would love to take the train to work.
Right.
Like I can get on at Dearborn. The next stop is Detroit. I get off at the train station in Detroit, hop on the M1 and it drops me off right in my building. I would love that. That would be fantastic.
I understand what you're saying about parks, but I think people would get more enjoyment with having more things built on our waterway. And the theory is, how often am I going to use that park? Yeah, we drive past it every day. And it is a walkway. Occasionally see some bicycle. By the way, the cities, how they're bowing down to people with bicycles, this is getting a little crazy.
Why?
Because it's too much. And I'm pro, like, don't get a green mm-hmm. Green print or whatever, you know, whatever, carbon footprint and stuff. But the way cities are bowing down now, it's like
what?
Too much. I don't know. Everybody's in front of you and they have the right of way.
Well, they have bike lanes.
Not everywhere.
They don't pay attention to that.
Not everywhere. These slow rolls that you get caught in them and it's like getting caught by a train. I'm serious.
and they're drunk on top of it.
Right. You're waiting for these slow rolls to go. You might as well get caught by a train. And that goes by. You're waiting for the caboose. You're waiting for that last bicycle.
They should put them actually inside the park. They should make them go in the park that's on the waterway.
But
I can't do that if there's a stadium there.
Then they ride right into
the
water.
But I think that if you had a ballpark down there, I would enjoy the water.
You would. But
how often have you been down to the walkway?
Only a couple times, but I can guarantee you I have been to Comerica Park once, and I've never been for a baseball game.
But would you go for a concert?
Probably not.
No.
It depends on the concert. I mean, I was there for one concert. Mm-hmm. It would depend on the concert. And if they can fix the traffic situation.
I just think that people are like, hey, there's no space, no space, no space, no space. We have a lot of space on that waterfront.
But the thing is, there's a lot of space elsewhere in the city. Before you go junking up the waterfront, there's a ton of space elsewhere.
Okay. Well, now we have
– like dead neighborhoods where there's like two families living in like an 8-square mile.
Okay. So let's imagine Fox Theater has the Nutcracker Ballet in December.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street, 75, the Wings are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid, either the Lions are playing or there's a concert at Ford Field.
Yeah.
You're going to sit in that for 4 hours. I don't understand building stadium upon stadium. Well, literally, you have stadium, stadium.
You really think it's going to help if you put the stadium just like a mile away on the waterfront?
I do.
I don't think it will. I think you'll still end up with terrible traffic. You're not going to solve the traffic issue until you have a much better public transportation system.
Or a legitimate public transportation.
Well, I'm saying
rail's a joke.
Here's the thing. Yes, does it solve all the problems? No. It's at least a start. The people mover is a circle, dude. At least
it works as you talk in the mic, Jim.
At least the M1 rail like goes from a place to a different place.
Yeah, it goes about 5 city blocks.
Goes 3.2 miles.
5 city blocks.
I'm just telling you, it goes 3.2
yeah, miles. Okay, 3.2
miles. And so, like, I can tell you already.
But I can ride my bike faster than that.
But I can tell you already, Jimmy. I work at Wayne State, right? There's a stop on the M1, like right outside my building.
Right.
I can already guarantee you that there are going to be plenty of days where I hop on the M1 rail and head down to the Campus Martius area.
Okay.
Grab a bike to eat, do something, which I'm not doing now.
Right.
I don't go down there now because I don't want to park and shit.
Okay.
So I can run down there, do that, come back, get in my car, and go.
All right.
So Jimmy, how we got into this conversation?
Which is fine, but that just means which is already a terrible parking situation on Wayne State. You know, around Wayne State Welcome Center, where you are, is going to get even worse because that's the end of the line, isn't it?
No, the end of the line is Grand Boulevard.
Oh, so just about a block up.
Well, but as I was saying when you were out of the room, the idea is that they're supposed to, and this is all, of course, big contingent, they're supposed to start running more commuter trains, like more frequent commuter trains from like Ann Arbor.
Right.
Through. So, like, if that's if they can run a train like every half hour, every hour, whatever.
I get that, but they didn't. They say that they built the M1 rail to connect to those commuter trains, but right now it's not going to happen.
Well, why not?
Because there's actually been articles I've been following this. The way that they built the M1 rail, they really didn't build it for expansion. They were supposed to, but then when it actually came time to build it, the way that they built it was to not allow for expansion.
Well, I mean, it's not going to connect. I mean, you come into the train station on an Amtrak and then you get off that and you get on the M1 rail to take you downtown.
Right. What I'm saying is where the stops are.
Yeah.
You're still going to have to walk several miles between the Amtrak stop and where the M1 rail starts.
No. The Amtrak station is right there at Grand Boulevard.
Yeah, there's one there.
The Amtrak station is at Grand Boulevard where the M1 – that was the point. It goes from the Amtrak station down to Campus Martius.
So you could essentially ride in from Dearborn.
You can ride in from Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
The idea is you would ride in from Ann Arbor. The plan is they're going to have – they're building a station for a stop in Romulus basically at the airport.
Right.
So there'll be a stop in Ann Arbor, Ipsy, Airport – Dearborn, no, Airport, yeah, Dearborn, Detroit.
Detroit, right.
And I think it'll probably go on to Pontiac or something like that.
Yeah,
So that's the plan.
You have to leave by 4 o'clock in the morning to get to your job.
Maybe. I don't know. It depends on how often they're going to run the – right now, from what I understand, right now they're in talks with the freight train lines to like settle on – like schedules
times,
and things like that. They've built extra track. Like was it 2 years ago, through Dearborn, Westland, like that whole Romulus, they built extra track. They laid a second track.
How we got on the subject, Jimmy, is
that, I was listening.
Okay.
Yeah, I was listening.
I'm just so underwhelmed by our waterfront. I'm talking where the U.S. Post Office is. So I'm talking south of Joe Louis Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And this incredible walkway that they got on the riverfront. But I just think that when you see other cities who do the riverfront right, it really is depressing that we haven't. I mean, the Renaissance Center, pretty building, but there's nothing there.
Well, if you go, what is it? That would be east of the Rent Center along the Riverwalk there. They're kind of building that up a little bit.
Not fast enough.
Well, but that's, I mean, you can only build it. You can only build it. Dan Gilbert can kiss my ass.
Well, I'm saying, but it's all in one little area around his thing.
Well, yeah, of course, because he's the only one that's financing it.
But when the casinos were supposed to go there and didn't go there, and then you see a city that understands how to use a waterway, it's very depressing to come back and go, we don't know how to do a waterway.
Well, you also have to have reason for people to
go
down
exactly.
There.
If there's no reason to go down, Dan Gilbert's building it up because that's around where he owns the property. So, yeah, he's smart enough to do that. But who is going to populate or who's going to finance the rest of the Riverwalk where you're talking about by like Joe Louis Arena or whatever? There's nothing there. There's no reason for people to go over
there
right
now.
That's
what I'm saying. There needs to be something there. And my whole point was I wish Comerica Park was built on the water.
I think
much as the skyline
honestly putting a stadium on a like that is like throw a turd on your dashboard like
there's
that
nothing
is
there now there's
then put
there.
Then put something there that looks better than an ugly ass stadium.
See, I think stadiums are that's a differing opinion. Well, I think stadiums are beautiful. They can be done nice. Really do.
But so you put that there and it takes up all this land that you're that. Like, you can't enjoy the riverfront at that point. How do you, like, so you're sitting in a baseball game. Do you see the riverfront?
Yes. I looked at it often and go, wow, this view's freaking amazing.
That's great if you're in the stadium.
Yeah.
And not, you have to be in the right seat. I have to walk around the stadium. Like, I think that is like the proverbial, like, what is it, silk hat on a pig. Like putting a stadium on the riverfront is a bigger waste of space than golf courses and cemeteries. That's why I'm in favor of making cemeteries into golf courses. Add some extra hazards in there. Every now and then a hand comes up and grabs your golf ball.
There was other stuff in the stadium that I thought was impressive. They have like these little Circle K stores. So, like, you know, lines are a problem at Comerica Park.
Mm-hmm.
You literally walk in there, you open the fridge, you get a pop or whatever you want. They ring you out at a register like a 7-Eleven, and there's no lines.
That would never work here. because people will just walk in, take the stuff, and leave.
Yeah.
And you know I'm right.
Yeah, that is true.
I know the lines weren't a problem there at Comerica Park. They're always a problem. But I just – it's what I came back from in the way I looked at it is that I wish our waterfront – when you see – and Rochelle mentioned Pittsburgh does the waterfront, right? They got bars and stuff. We don't even have – freaking bar.
You know what? I would be all for restaurants and bars in the waterfront.
Don't
absolutely.
I was going to say bars and Detroit River, not a good mix because you're going to have a shit ton of people that are just going to stumble drunkenly and fall into Detroit River.
Well, they'll do that in Pittsburgh or wherever else. I mean,
but they're not going to get, you know, every disease known to man if they fall into Pittsburgh.
Here's the thing, though. As far as falling into water, if you get drunk and fall in the water, that's natural selection at work,
Jimmy. That's true, too.
You know, if you get so bloody drunk that you fall into the water, I say you got what you deserved.
I don't know.
I wouldn't go that far.
You got what you deserve.
I wouldn't go that far.
Know your limits.
Yeah. But no, because
and
here's the thing.
Don't fall in the water.
No, because here's the thing. That's going to put a strain on Detroit resources because when the dumbass falls in the river, somebody's got to jump in there and get them because if they don't, then people are going to sue that our police, that the Detroit police, that Coast Guard, whatever, didn't do their job.
Jimmy, I'm going to ask you a really good question here right now.
Okay.
You don't think there's drunk people walking along the riverfront as we speak?
I was just that's what I was just about to say. You're making it sound like there's going to be a goddamn diving board.
No.
You come out of like they put like a Bubba Gump down there or something on the riverfront with a diving board out the front door out to the river.
But you're going to increase the amount of drunk people who are walking on the riverfront.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, though, if you're putting restaurants and stuff, you're going to build up some kind of wall or rail. You're going to put something up so people aren't falling in. Like,
well, I mean, maybe.
Cleveland, it's dumpy now, but what's it called? The down in the flats. Now it's all strip clubs, but the flats was on the water. PNC.
Now that's what Marv wants to see there on the riverfront. Strip clubs.
It depends. Because like I've been to some of the strip clubs on 8 Mile, and I don't need to go back to those.
Henry VIII's.
No, well, I don't think there's a Henry VIII's. Is there one? I went to it was at the time
Silver Cricket. Riverside.
Silver Cricket Riverside. I went to a place at the time, it was called Hot.
Where everything smells like fish.
I went to a place called, it was called Hot Tamales at the time. It is okay. Not called that anymore. I believe now it is just simply called Tamales. The Gentleman's Club.
Oh, okay.
It's just like a gray building, right? Yeah. Like, it was like 3 o'clock on a Thursday.
Right.
And the I won't even call her the young lady. the matriarch. Like the came house, out
the, like, the house bunny.
Like yeah, like well I would say that like I would say the house jackalope came
what
out
do you want?
Like sat she didn't even like work it. Like she came, sat on a chair, like opened her legs and was like look at it. It's like she just she had a cig hanging out of her mouth. She didn't even bother to take it out. It bobbed up and down when she was like, look at it.
Look at it.
Just look at it.
Look at it. There goes another kid.
You know, and I was like, ugh. Just unless she fell asleep, like she fell asleep, and like she woke up when her cig fell out of her mouth and burned her boob. That's when she woke up and was like, oh sorry, look at it, just look at it. Like that's what happened.
Hey, you want a taste of this?
So, and I was like, no, I don't actually. Thank you though.
You're like Miss Ivory. $1, I rub my tits on you.
Oh God, no, here is the really funny part. Well, here's the really funny part about that.
Oh, that wasn't the funny part?
No, the best part about it was I met there with a friend of mine because we were talking we were going over plans for me to officiate his wedding. So
of all the places
so,
you could be.
Wow. So he was essentially at the strip club with his reverend.
Now that's a hell of a reverend.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yep.
Did
afterwards you get up there and go, I bless you, my child.
You know, I tried, but I was simply an internet reverend. I needed a young priest and an old priest.
The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
No, I did that. She squirted at me. It was terrible.
There was nothing worse in the strip club days when you went in there and the ugliest girl was the first girl to come sit by you. And then if she had no selling skills, like the first thing she says to you is, do you want to dance?
Hey,
well,
buddy.
I just sat down.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Brad, you want to dance?
Yeah. And you're already picking out. You're like, how quick can I get this girl to leave here?
I'll give you my special.
I may have told you guys this story. This was my, it's
surprise
one of,
as crabs.
It's not my favorite. The same night has my favorite strip club story, but.
This is when you went up north, isn't it?
No. This
he had so many.
I do. Right? This was at the Playhouse or Dollhouse or whatever it's called by the airport.
The Playhouse.
Oh, the Playhouse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. And we established by talking to the girls that the Friday night girls at the Playhouse are the same Tuesday afternoon girls at Hustler Club. So there was one woman walking around, and I would say she was also a matriarch.
Okay.
She was the shot girl. She had.
You want a shot, honey?
Hold on.
Okay.
Don't get ahead of me, Jimmy.
All right.
She comes over. She has one shot left.
Okay.
And she's like. Do you think maybe you could just buy my last shot from me? I have really bad GERD. And my boss, I really need to go to urgent care. My boss says I can't leave till I sell all my shots.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, you know, like I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? If this is a scam that she's running, I don't care.
No,
it's
you know
like
what?
The best.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, babe? I will buy your last shot from you. And so I bought it. And to her credit, I watched her walk over to her boss, show him the empty tray, and then out the door she went.
Wow.
But yeah, her excuse was she had really bad GERD.
Oh, man.
I need a shot with an Imodium chaser.
I left my Pepsin at home, and I've chewed like a whole bottle of Tums, and it just isn't working.
Let's go to our first song break. We'll be back.
I'm burping up blood.
Oh, God.
5 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome Rochelle, back to the undercarriage.
Rochelle told us there's going to be a drop and then we'll come back. But Brad heard the music ending, so he goes, whoa. And Rochelle goes, nope.
Like a good producer. Good producer show.
He's Brad's just like, nope.
Like a good producer does.
Keep him in line.
We got to sure take do. Off our civil engineering hats now and move on to boxing really quick and cover the Canelo Alvarez fight versus Smith down in Dallas.
Who won?
Canelo Alvarez. Oh. By the ninth round. Knocked Smith down three times.
Oh, so you called it. You called a knockout, right?
I did.
It was a TDK, TDK. TKO.
That's still a knockout.
So yeah, you called a knockout, right? I believe you did.
I was not going to pick Smith, so I probably did.
I'm pretty sure you said knockout. You said he'd win by a knockout.
But he did break his right thumb. But it's not serious.
Canelo did?
Yeah. Oh. It doesn't have to be surgery or anything. But there's not much that I can say about the fight that hasn't been already said. He's supposed to walk through Smith.
But it took him to the ninth round?
Yeah, but you know what?
I think he was having some fun.
Smith was in a lot of pain. Smith was in a lot of pain. First off, I'm not going to question any boxer's toughness, but, I mean, he was beaten down over those nine rounds.
Yeah.
It's kind of like taking a Sunday walk for Canelo Alvarez.
He said he was in a lot of pain. All I could think of was, do you have any predictions for this fight?
Pain.
Pain. Pain, Balboa.
Pain.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pain. So, you know, the question that he can't avoid until this fight happens is that every time he fights and it's not Golovkin, that first question from Max Kellerman or anybody is going to be when you're going to fight Golovkin. Now it's been reported that he had maybe offered $10 million. Golovkin turned down $10 million because he can get for sure a lot more. That's kind of an insulting purse. But the sites that I do trust out there are saying September 2017. So it's about a year away.
A year away. Wow. Okay.
I know. 365 days.
Wait. Say that again?
Some sources I trust and some sites that I read that I also trust are leaning towards September 2017, which
for
I was thinking.
Canelo Triple G.
Yeah.
We said the whole time that
I think it
was probably
Cinco de Mayo.
Well, that's what I was saying. He was holding out for Cinco de Mayo. So why would he have held out for this long and still only go into September? I don't get it.
Well, now a couple things have happened. One, with the broken thumb, he was supposed to fight in December, not a pay-per-view fight, but he was supposed to fight for HBO. This is Alvarez. He's not at the weight to fight Golovkin yet, so he wanted a couple fights to fight Golovkin. He is probably on the shelf now until about May because of this broken thumb.
Gotcha.
No surgery, so it's not a bad break. But 50,000 people were there. How many tickets do you think they gave away? I don't even know. Do you think Canelo Alvarez – what's that old Elvis thing? 50,000 Elvis fans can't be wrong? 50,000 Canelo fans can't be wrong or something? That's pretty impressive for a boxing match against Smith. I mean, Canelo's becoming an AT&T Stadium, which is the former new Cowboys Stadium down in Dallas.
How much does that hold?
I think a lot more than
that. Is it? Okay.
Didn't they have, like, WrestleMania there, and it was over 100,000?
Was it? Okay. I don't know.
At the AT&T Stadium?
Yeah. Didn't that break the record for the Silverdome? And I don't know
why. It's Silverdome, yeah.
Yeah, but it broke. See what the wrestling record was. Because, I mean, that's the same. Yeah, WrestleMania attendance Dallas, because that would be the same concept, right? A ring, you have all the floor seats. So
yeah,
it looked full.
Yeah.
Looked full.
I'm sorry, WrestleMania attendance what?
Dallas. Texas. Yeah, it's going to be something crazy. I'm going to cry.
I think any time.
WWE sets an all-time attendance record of 101,763.
Holy shit. So there's a lot more seats available.
Yeah.
But 50,000, that's pretty impressive. So,
Golovkin
Canelo there would be awesome. It'd be rocking. Are you watching the board too?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right here.
Weird.
But anyways. Oh no, somebody messaged me. I was like,
no.
Wait, what did they message you? All you had to say was. Was it a missed call? Was it something about the audio? What was the message?
No. Oh. It was somebody that was trying to message or something. I don't know. I think they're goofing with us.
Oh, okay.
They sound disgruntled. They're not undercard fans.
Oh. Well, we don't need him on the show anyways.
Boo on you.
Then.
Well, no, right. I said call in.
Boo this man.
I said, oh, they said call in?
No, I said call in. Tell us why you don't like our show. I was being honest.
Oh.
But so then I was making sure that, like, either he punked out and he's like, I don't like your show.
Yeah.
And but
so wait, so they messaged you to say I don't like your show?
So I was like, call in.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Oh, it was just a random number?
Just a random message that...
Maybe they thought you were Jeff Moss.
No.
What's their phone number? Tell us their phone number.
I'm not getting the phone number. I'm telling them to call in.
We'll call them.
I want to know why.
I want to call them and find out why they don't like the show.
No, if they come forward and say why they don't like the show, whatever. I don't care.
Then we can go tell them to take a flying leap.
No.
I would want to hear if they have legitimate gripes.
Right, yes.
Other than that, in boxing, we're going to move on to... I got to tell you really quick before we get out of the boxing segment. So Ireland versus Detroit happened.
Yes. How did that go?
That was actually awesome.
Yeah?
It was really cool. Made some friends from Team Ireland. And now the goal is to get our team over there and fight over there. And...
I want to go to that event.
We will be mentors.
Yeah, that's
tutors.
That is chaperones. That is an event I will clear my schedule for.
Yes, exactly.
But no, it was really cool. So
wait, we got a call coming in.
Here he is.
All right.
Oh no, I have a feeling I know who
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the undercard. Who do we have here?
It doesn't really matter. You guys got Cody Stamann on the show tonight?
Yeah, he's going to be on at, like, the 9 o'clock hour. Why?
If he's lucky. Because, quite honestly, the guy's a little punk. And I really don't care if we ever have him on the show again.
I would 100% agree with that.
Yeah, the guy... I 100% agree with that. Yeah, I mean, have you seen, like, the pictures and stuff he puts online? A little gay.
Yeah.
Right?
Super gay.
I mean, if he came into this studio right now, I would kick the living crap out of him.
I think anyone probably could.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I can't do it, we'll get Rochelle's son to come down here and do it.
That's right.
I mean, yeah.
You have to...
His head's getting a little bit bigger than his fighting ability.
Yeah.
Which is weird because now he won't be able to fit it up his ass anymore, which is where it is most of the time.
I would 100% agree with that.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Cody Stamann. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Wait, shit, that's Cody?
That's Cody.
Hey, you know, we were just kidding, buddy. We were just messing around.
No, I knew it was him. I saw the number come through, and I'm like, that's a Grand Rapids number.
I tried to sell it, but we are joined by Cody Stamann, 11-1 as a pro, but if you follow his career, he's still 12-0 because that was a terrible decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, we at the undercard do not recognize
that.
No,
we
that
do not recognize
happens.
That loss. So no, you are 12-0 no. Still on the undercard.
Yeah, I don't recognize it either, but I have to see it every time they call my name.
Just write an asterisk next to it every time you see it.
So there has been some news. This isn't just to run up how many times you've been on the show. There is some news in your MMA career here. You have made a signing with an agency. Do you want to break – well, you're not breaking the news. You announced it already. But you want to tell us who you signed with and what opportunities this brings for you, Cody?
Yeah, I signed with Freedom Sports. A really good agency. They represent a ton of guys in UFC. They put a lot of guys in UFC. I think they have like 40 to 50 guys, and you know, they do a great job. You know, I signed with them 2 weeks ago, and you know, I've been on the phone with them every day. You know, they take good care of me. I can't say enough good things about these guys. You know, I've never really had a legit fight manager. I've kind of done things on my own. Just because, you know, I feel like in the local MMA scene, the regional MMA scene, like, people want you on their card, so they just mainly contact you directly, and then you would direct them to your manager.
Where right.
If you want to get on, you know, international and, you know, bigger cards, you know, like the UFC, you need those connections and that manager that has the right plugins to put you there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's super good step in my career, and I'm really fortunate. You know, these guys don't sign everybody. You know, it's kind of down my thing into where, like, boxing is. You know, you can't just sign with the best manager at 1-0, and you know, they kind of carry you there. You know, you kind of handpicked and selected to do that. So yeah, I'm pretty fortunate.
I don't know if you're still in negotiations with them, but maybe you could get them as like a signing bonus to give you a better cell phone.
Actually, I'm walking right now. I'm actually out of breath.
Wait. That's not something you should admit, Cody.
Yeah, no. What you meant to say was I'm running 500 miles an hour and getting out of breath. So that's great. Congratulations to you. So what did, have you started to talk about like plans now? What are their plans for you?
I mean, basically, I just need to stay active because that phone call to the big show is going to happen. It's going to happen hopefully sooner than later, but it's definitely going to happen. You know, I have the record. I have the accolades in my career now. It's going to happen. It's a matter of, when the next opening is. You know, the UFC has, 10, 15 more bantamweights, which is my weight, than they really need. So, guys need to get cut. Guys have to get hurt, basically. And then, the opening comes up. It could be a 2-week notice, 3-week notice. I actually just turned down a pretty lucrative fight contract because they wouldn't give me a UFC out clause. They're like, yeah, no way. There's like a 3-fight deal. It's a good deal for a good promotion, but they wouldn't give me the UFC out clause. And if you fight MMA, you want to fight in the UFC.
Yeah,
so, exactly.
So then
I couldn't sign it because they weren't going to let me do it.
Right. So that if you're turning things down, then you and your management are pretty confident that that's like a step, it'll be a step for you soon.
Yeah, basically there was a big international ranking where they kind of ranked all the fighters and kind of where they were on an international stage. And I think I was ranked 11th in the world.
Okay, but that's on looks. How are you with fighting?
Yeah.
What's that?
I said that was on looks, the 11th, but how are you ranked on fighting?
if we're going by looks, do I have clothes on or am I naked? So I have clothes on. I'm like,
well, great. I was just about to get some deep, but now that, thanks a lot.
Well, now.
Yeah, I was 11 and then 4 in the U.S., second in the U.S., but the guy that was ahead of me just lost, so that put me at the number one spot in the U.S. So.
That sucks that he lost.
I'm going to get a phone call.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to speculate that something's in the works because your good friend Darren Cruikshank, he is in Japan, and you didn't go with him in training camp. So, is that reasonable speculation that you aren't traveling because stuff is in the works for you in the States?
No, I am traveling with Darren. I'll be there. I leave tomorrow.
Oh, okay. He's starting the party.
Commit to a full week. In Japan, as fun as it is, it's hard taking a whole, 8 days off your life to, go to a country where no one speaks the same language as you.
Now,
just remember, yeah. Cody, all the girls over there speak the international language of Cody.
Yeah, and yen,
that's right.
And aren't you and Darren really tall over there? Isn't that like the old adage?
Oh, man.
We're like the same. No, I wouldn't say I'm tall. I'm not tall anywhere, but in Japan, I'm pretty average height. You walk around and you look at people directly in the eyes, it's like, wow.
So this is what this is like.
Here a while. Instead of looking up when you're talking to everybody all the time.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Too.
I love how you guys always make fun of how tall he is when he's not in studio. Yeah.
No, Brad makes fun of him even when he's in studio.
No, dude, I love Cody. Yeah. Man.
No, we do. Not only we do it because we love.
Not only is he not in studio, he's about to be off the continent for a week. So, yeah, make all the fun you want.
Let's talk about KOP 50. I wasn't able to make it. I think I was covering boxing or something, but you went against a tough opponent in Eric Vo, who had a lot of fights under his belt, I think over 30 fights. You win by arm lock, which is great because you didn't want a decision. You ran one round three. Walk us through that fight because we've not talked to you since this fight. How good was it to get a submission in the last round against a tough opponent?
I definitely wasn't looking for a submission. That's the last thing I thought I would get, honestly. But he was a super tough dude. I dropped him in the first round, and he got up like nothing happened. I dropped him in the second round, and I And it was, I put like a 10-second highlight reel on social media. I mean, like, I was throwing everything I had at this dude. And finally, he went to the ground, and I hit him a couple more times, and I thought he was out, and the ref was going to jump in and stop it. And, like, just as I, like, pulled my hand back in, he, like, came up and grabbed my leg. I was like, this guy just will not quit. The third round came around. He was pretty banged up. I think he was still kind of, like, in and out. And I dropped him again, and I went for the finish. He kind of tied me up, and I just went for an arm. Because it was like, I got to hurry up and get out. I don't want to go to decisions, you know. I'm definitely not a submission guy by any means. I'm not even sure how that happened.
But take it, man. It's on the record. Yeah. You take it and enjoy that, too. Well, we want to thank you for stopping in, man. You know, every time we hang out at events and stuff, you're always my favorite guy to run into. You're always super nice to the undercard. So I greatly appreciate that, Cody. And we want to wish you fun and safe travels in Japan. And then I'm sure you're going to have a big announcement to make soon. As your friend, because you said we're friends, how about make the announcement on the undercard?
I would 100% do that.
I'd greatly appreciate that. We're going to hold you to it. And Marvel,
but you have to come in studio to do it.
Right.
Oh, you got to come in studio to do it, Rochelle says, because, too.
Yeah, Rochelle's...
I'm going to put it on Facebook as I'm there.
All right,
perfect.
Rochelle, just talking to you on the phone, it's already pretty soggy down at that end of the table. So.
Notice she's not denying
she's
it.
She's not denying it. She's just like, sploosh.
Anyway...
You take
Marva's the male equivalent of whatever sploosh is.
Yeah.
You take care, Cody, and we'll talk to you as soon as that announcement's ready to be made, man. Take care.
All right. Thanks,
see you, Cody.
All right. Easily one of our favorite guys, Cody Stamen.
Yeah.
11-1.
12-0. He's 12-0. We don't count that one, honestly.
They got to be looking so hard. He's marketable.
Yeah.
Not only is he marketable, like, he's got the record, he's got the accolades. I mean, mm-hmm.
He's got it. Well, I mean, and beyond that, I mean, you look at the whole package, right? He's a nice handsome guy. He's got a great personality. I mean, like really.
Yeah,
like,
no, and you know, that's
like,
it.
Like, he's not only personable, can he fight, but he's personable. He's, you know, like,
he's good in an interview.
Yeah,
he's funny.
He literally is the whole package.
He really is. And you like looking at his package.
I mean, I wouldn't look away, you know, but.
He'll make announcement. If an announcement does happen, that would be great. In the meantime, you know, all he can do is keep fighting and keep winning.
Like I said, though, it's very telling when, like, you turn down, like, a 3 or 4 fight deal.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a great management now.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like there's so, like, you don't, like.
There's something happening.
It's telling when, like, they won't give you a UFC out. And you're like, no, no deal. You know what I mean? Like, that's – you don't just do that. So,
yeah. So that was Cody Stamen. We're going to be coming up here in a second on What's on Tap. I'll let Jimmy get ready and everything like that. But I'm going to give a radio tease, as a good friend Ricky Rocks used to say to us. Are you going to tease it? Going to give her a radio tease? We're going to be talking a little bit of the Family Feud. And don't get bored of it. We're going to be talking about the Family Feud – from the late 70s?
It's the 70s,
Mid-80s.
And this is going to be an interesting conversation. It is a shorter show tonight. We're going to probably wrap it up around the 8:30 mark.
Yeah.
I got to go to
concert. Roger Klein's in
town. Roger Klein.
Oh. Roger Klein's amazing, by the way. And the Peacemakers. So, Jimmy,
his age shouldn't it be Pacemakers?
Wow.
Am I wrong? Right. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. You're wrong.
Damn good for his age.
You're not
That's
wrong.
All I gotta say.
All right, this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. All right, starting off boxing, September 23rd, Miami, Oklahoma on Showtime. We have Travis Peterkin versus Radio V Kalajic.
That is like your worst attempt ever, Jimmy.
I can't even try to pronounce
Let me try
this. Yeah,
because I'm just.
Oh yeah, Brad.
Try.
Wait. Brad's gonna
see the name.
It's the one highlighted.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's. Thank you.
All right, let me give it a shot. All right,
you give it a shot, Mark.
All right, so it is Travis Peterkin
versus Radivojle Kalazdvisnik.
Okay.
I made all that up. I was making noises. All right. That's all.
It's 10 rounds for the light heavyweights. And that's pretty much it for boxing this week. Not much going on. Moving on to MMA. The only real big things going on, UFC Fight Night 95, Cyborg versus Landsberg in Brazil. And then I did want to bring this up. On September 25th, Rizin Fighting World Grand Prix 2016.
Ryzen.
And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because, first of all, big friend of the show, Darren Cruikshank, is fighting. Darren is 17-8-0. He is fighting Andy Sewer, who is 1-0-0. So I'm kind of putting my money on Darren.
1-0-0. Against what? 17?
Against 17-8-0. The other big thing is that the main event.
Whose idea was that?
I have no idea. The main event will feature Kron Gracie, who is the son of Rickson Gracie of the Gracie family and grandson to Helio Gracie. So that should be a good fight.
Wait, Rickson's fighting again?
Kron Grayson is fighting.
Yeah.
Who is the son of Rickson and grandson of Helio.
Rickson. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. And that's in Saitama, Japan. I tried looking it up. The only way that I think you can watch it is if you go to the Ryzen website. Just Google Ryzen, and you should be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now that's the only way that you can watch it.
Yeah, maybe Cody will live.
That's a possibility,
too. Live tweet it.
He might live. If you're listening, Cody, maybe get on Facebook Live. Just saying. All right, and that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. Did you want to go to a quick break?
Let's go to one more break, and then we'll talk the Family Feud.
All right.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to the Undercard, officially episode 205, I believe, according to Jimmy. Jimmy probably got a better count than me. We are going to talk Family Feud here really quick, but before that, have you guys seen Now You See Me, the movie?
No.
Do you care to see it? Because I can go on a spoiler rant here really quick.
Well, I don't care. You can
see what?
You can spoil
now, it. Now You See Me?
I saw the first one.
Okay, do you have interest in seeing the second?
Yeah.
Oh, then shit. Okay, but anyways, I can't even talk about that then. Damn, dude.
Well, you can talk. I don't know.
Well, I saw Now You See Me 2 last night. I really liked Now You See Me. I thought it was great. Now You See Me 2 could not be more disappointing.
Really?
I wouldn't even give it a star.
I was afraid of that.
They messed with storylines that you probably liked, Jimmy, that made Now You See Me so good. That's all I'll say. I was going to go on a rant.
Are you talking about the end reveal?
The end reveal in the second one.
No, I'm talking about did they mess with – because I thought it was a continuation of the end reveal of the first one.
It is a continuation.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But they took the storyline and pooped on it.
I bet you they thought, well, with this creative twist –
Oh,
it was okay. I don't. Maybe I won't go see it then. Maybe I'll wait for it to come out on video.
It
is on video. Yeah, oh,
it's a red boxer.
No.
Don't even spend the $1.59.
Well, no, I always do. I have a coupon, buy one, get one. So I'll buy or rent one, get one. So I'll rent one that I want to watch and then use my.
You're wasting like 2 hours of your life.
Yeah, wait for it to be on Netflix or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix like you kids do, but what I do is YouTube.
That's an idea that I think that we should put in. That this is my $1 million idea for us.
All right, what's your $1 million idea for us?
Is movie cliff notes.
Okay.
Ooh,
good. You know what I mean? Like, so you can get the cliff notes because you don't want to read The Catcher in the Rye.
Right.
So we need to come up with movie cliff notes of clever editing of the movie itself where you condense 2 hours down into like 15 minutes. You got everything you need to know. See ya.
Well, they do that on YouTube already. I've seen some videos where they've pared it, two hours down to 15 minutes.
They don't do it well.
Okay. Agreed. Agreed. It's not great. It's not the greatest.
You need some. Some people with training in this. Jim,
okay,
is what I'm saying.
Basically, you watch a 4-hour movie to find out Rosebud was a.
Spoiler alert.
You watch a 4-hour movie to find out that, spoiler alert, Rosebud is his sled.
That is while I do love that movie, that is one of the most disappointing endings.
Yes.
You're like, it's
yes.
Some people
really?
Don't catch it because of the flames. Like a lot of people are like, what was Rosebud? And I was like, you didn't.
Like, really? I mean, I get it. Like, the
movie's
great. It's a metaphor for his childhood and blah, 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 blah. But just on the surface, it's like, you're just like, it's his friggin' sled?
Yeah.
Aw, screw this movie.
Rosebud. So I don't Netflix, but what I have been doing lately is watching shows on YouTube. WKRP in Cincinnati, the whole show is on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I started off watching that. And then I do enjoy Family Feud. My son broke his leg. And so when I'd go over my ex-wife's house, I'd have him record the Family Feuds. And we'd watch the ones with Steve Harvey.
That's
They're
so
funny.
Apt. It's They're, so apt
right,
that
exactly.
you're watching Family Feud.
I didn't even think of it that way. That's pretty funny. But Steve Harvey does a really
show us Evil X.
show us Marv sitting uncomfortably on the couch for like a half hour.
Survey says 100 people agreed that that was uncomfortable.
Sir, 100 people polled. Survey says, what is the most uncomfortable thing Marv has ever done? Sat on a couch at Brad's place.
But I think Steve Harvey does a really good job.
He
he's
does.
Really funny.
He really does. Yeah.
He does all right.
I think he's good.
He is.
Out of all the hosts that have ever hosted Family Feud, he is by far the best.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. He is very good.
Yes.
He is very good. But I think that's I really do think that's a difficult show to host.
It is.
Right.
Oh, it's
because,
terrible.
Yeah. I mean, like you're trying to play off these people who are in no way professional.
No, no.
You know, I mean,
not
a lot
at
of
all.
Steve Harvey, it's physical comedy. The look he gives when does it.
Yeah. I just watched on YouTube. It was Steve Harvey also has his Steve Harvey show.
Yeah.
Right.
So he will apparently occasionally have people on the Steve Harvey show who were contestants on Family Feud if they had done something particularly crazy or whatever, right? So we had this family on there, and it's one of the best fail answers I've ever seen. It was words that start with pork.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Ryan, right?
No.
That one?
Oh. No, the dude said, you pine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Steve, you could tell Steve was, like, in mode, right? So he was like, words that start with pork, and the guy's like, you pine. And Steve, like, starts to turn, and then he's like,
wait, what?
What? Did you pine?
Wait.
You
wait,
pine?
Wait. Hold on.
Pork, you pine.
The actual right, audio.
Hold on.
Do
we're
you
gonna
have
get
it?
The, we're going to get the actual audio
yeah.
on this. Hold
yeah.
on one second
yeah.
here.
Pork.
All right, I gotta get past the keep talking. We gotta get past the advertiser.
Okay,
thing.
Well, earlier this a woman in the same family, like she had, I don't know, she just has like an accent or whatever, and it was like her answer for pork was loin, but she kept saying lawn.
Oh
and
yeah,
so Steve
right,
thought she
go.
Was saying lawn, pork lawn.
All right,
here
we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Top six answers are on the board. Name something that follows the word pork.
Lawn.
Huh?
Lawn.
Huh?
Lawn. L-I-O-N, lawn.
She just spelled lion, by the way. L-I-O-N.
The hell is a pork lawn? I thought you said lawn like the grass outside. I was going, what the hell is a pork lawn? Lawn!
What?
Looking for the pork lawn.
What?
Joe,
oh, pork belly.
Pork belly.
There we go.
That's number. That was the one below.
Yeah.
That was the one
here
below.
We go.
So there we go. They're going to play. I think this is the one.
I know it's coming. It's a guy.
Yep.
What am? Name something that follows the word pork.
You pine.
Steve just looked at him like, what? He's looking at the card.
A smack jack! Yes! Number 10!
pork.
All right, so porcupine, there it was. But Brad wanted to talk about the lecherous, back in the day, the lecherous Richard Dawson.
Yeah, yes. so how I make the transition from WKRP in Cincinnati is they used to have casts of shows go against casts of shows. Yeah. And WKRP went against, I forget who, Dukes of Hazzard went against the Waltons. Yep. And I started watching that. Yeah. And I got the creep vibe from Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
$4, we have nice prizes for you. Good luck
with your career.
Okay.
Kiss. Yeah. Kiss.
He kissed everybody.
Kiss. He's going down the line. Everyone's a woman. Kiss. And kiss. Oh, and that's a double kiss.
But that was his signature.
The girl at the that led the Waltons team, she wanted to be kissed more than once and like was happy. That was the most exciting thing.
Yeah. She was also very drunk.
Jimmy's gonna reveal some stuff about maybe they had to kiss Richard Dawson or something, but holy cow, this couldn't even exist nowadays. Like how he acted.
Oh my gosh.
He's massaging hands, kissing. Not only that, I was telling Rochelle, you got to remember when Richard Dawson was doing this, he was bigger than the stars that were on his TV. Back then, a game show host was about as high as you could get in showbiz entertainment.
Yeah.
Chuck Woolery, those guys demanded attention.
He was also pretty famous before he had Family Feud.
Yeah.
He was an actor. For Hogan's Heroes.
Stuff before that. Yeah,
at that time, game show hosts, it had like a kind of a regal thing about it. As I watch it, though, it's ridiculous to watch. Holy cow. He's dressed as a bad lounge singer.
Well, not at the time. At the time, he was the height of fashion.
No, he was the height of fashion.
Because I do want to point out that while we love Brad, Brad gets to things a little late.
Yeah. This is something that the world has known approximately 30
years. When Brad sent us things, he's like, guys, we should talk about this. Jimmy and I are like, sure.
Yeah. I know, he asked me today, he goes,
turn your mic on.
He goes, He goes, have you ever watched like the old Family Feud and like the guy? And I go, yeah, he kissed everyone.
Yeah, he's a lech.
He was like dirty, like creepy. And I'm like, yeah.
And also around that same time, did you know that Nixon broke into the Watergate? Did you know that?
Wait, Marv. I just heard about this.
What?
Did you know that we put a man on the moon?
No.
Yeah.
Like when?
Like 69.
Here's the crazy thing. There are so many people that would argue you.
Yeah, I know. You pick something that I could argue with.
Right? Yeah. Like you totally could argue.
Golf balls don't fly like that in space, you know? All that stuff.
Anyway, so Richard, so Jimmy and I just want to recognize that we were aware of it.
Yes.
I was not aware
of it. But anyway, so he was a lecherous old man.
So, but I want to, I looked it up and, there's some rumors, there's nothing really confirmed, that on one of the shows, one of the contestants didn't want to kiss Richard Dawson, and he basically had a meltdown and said, look, you have to kiss, if she doesn't kiss me, then this show will not go on, and she did, but she said, please do it on the cheek, not on the lips, and he said, okay. But this is something I want to read off of.
See, she may have been doing him a favor. She may have had the herp or something.
Well, that's a possibility.
You know, and she just didn't want to say, if you kiss me, you are going
to
get...
Right. So I wanted to read this off of his Wikipedia page. One of Dawson's trademarks on Family Feud, kissing the female contestants, earned him the nickname the Kissing Bandit. Television executives repeatedly tried to get him to stop the kissing. After receiving criticism for the practice, he asked viewers to write in and vote on the matter. The male response was 704.
Male response?
No, male.
M-A-I-L. I thought you meant
male. Yeah, no, we should clarify that. Yeah.
The wrote in male response.
I thought you meant
male. Snail mail.
That's the next thing. Brad's like, did you guys know that you used to have to put stamps on things? And like put them in a box?
Someone had to take it from that box and drive it or fly it.
The postal mail response was 704 against and 14,600 in favor of the kissing. On the 1985 finale, Dawson explained that he kissed contestants for love and luck, something his mother did with Dawson himself as a child.
Which is a little creepy itself, too.
Right. Viewers complained when he kissed the cheeks of non-white women, and in 2010, in an interview, he defended his actions by saying, "It is very important to me that in a Family Feud, I could kiss all people of all races. I kissed black women daily and nightly on Family Feud for 11 years, and the world did not come to an end, did it?"
No, that so okay from that standpoint with that time frame, that's cool. But yes, the kissing thing was weird.
Well, because it wasn't just like the
he did it to like 8 year old girls,
little 11 year old girls, like and on the lips.
Yeah,
like that was just, where it got weird.
Steve Harvey couldn't do it now.
No, God no.
Well.
Well, he could, but they wouldn't.
Those chompers he has.
I know. But I'm just saying.
He has giant chompers, oh, that guy.
Well, I was watching the one with the Dukes of Hazzard, and you can see Catherine Bach, who played Daisy Duke. She went for the cheek, and he's going straight to the lips.
Oh, yeah. He's got
his nuke set on the target. Well, he's going in.
And you have to give him – and maybe this has happened. I don't know because, I mean, those hairdos back in the 70s, everybody had, like, feathered hair. I wonder if he ever, like, made a mistake.
Ooh.
And like kissed a dude or went in for the dude. The dude was like,
well, a dude kissed him on the Waltons.
Yeah.
He
oh, okay.
To kiss. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that was like that was, you know, that I'm saying like he's just going down the line and he's in kissing mode and he just sees long feathered hair and is like, get over here and
kiss. He's like, kiss.
Oh,
oops. That was my bad.
So I'm making my way through old Family Feuds. I thought I'd bring it up because it's something that past me that like and you watch it now and it's
well
dated.
And here's the thing too, and I won't name any names, but I was watching one of those old Family Feud, you know, things or whatever, and I just made with somebody who was around that time period, like people from that time period who like grew up with Richard Dawson or whatever on that show will vehemently defend that was not perverted at all, that was okay. And I'm like, no, that was sick and wrong. And they're like, no, that was it was all innocent. I'm like, no, that wasn't innocent. That was just weird.
I think it may have started innocently because he said that like he first did it. There was a woman that was really
luck. Yeah.
Well, he said there was a woman.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first time a woman was really really nervous and like she just couldn't give an answer, or whatever. And so he remembered that. When he like would get nervous and stuff, his mom would like give him a peck on the cheek and like hold his hand.
Right.
So he did that with her and was like, "It's okay, like just give us an answer. We don't take money away from you,
right?
Like, you know, it's no big deal. You're just on a show, right?" And so he gave her the kiss, and then like it relaxed her, and like, and so he says that like he got into, you know, he started doing it to like put people at ease. But then I think like it became
more uncomfortable.
Well, it became a trademark of his, right? And then he was like, but it got creepy when he did it to like. Like little girls,
right? Yeah. Exactly.
Like, you know, like,
No.
Do you guys not remember this? And the reason it was weird is because it wasn't a gay thing and it wasn't these two people liked each other. It was because they were friends. Do you remember Isaiah Thomas kissing Magic Johnson before every game they played the Lakers?
No.
That was their sign of friendship. Look it up right now. Before
like
every
on the
game,
lips?
I don't know. I don't want to misquote this, but they Isaiah used to kiss before a game.
Isaiah messed around and get AIDS.
This is pre-AIDS, too. This is pre-AIDS for Magic Johnson. AIDS was around. But what I'm saying
HIV.
Is that always seemed weird to me. Like they would say we did it because we were friends.
Yeah.
Well, they would do it right at center court before the ball went up in the air.
Okay.
A kiss. There's got to be video of this. They kissed.
I'm looking for it. Hold on here.
I don't know, is one of them Italian? I don't.
No.
Because that is totally like a European thing. Like,
right.
But
I remember that being as a kid going, man, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know? Because it wasn't because they liked each other or anything. It was a friendship thing. Did you find it?
I'm still looking. Hold on. My computer's.
A piece of crap.
No, it's not a piece of crap. It's just running.
Survey says? It's a crap.
It's a piece of crap.
It's not an apple, so.
That is why it is distinctly
a piece of crap.
No.
Marv, I do, and this
is
a
very distinctly
sincere
not a piece
compliment.
Of crap because it is not an apple.
As I watch game shows on YouTube, because YouTube's amazing.
Yeah.
That is your calling. I really do think a game show, that is your calling. And I mean as a sincere compliment.
Well,
you're quick.
I appreciate that.
You're a people person.
Yeah.
And I think you could make it entertaining.
I will say is back in the day I worked at Henry Ford Museum and two of my favorite places to work were the Innovation Station and What's My Assembly Line, and they were both essentially game show shows, right? Like I was a game show host. I did enjoy it, so I would not be averse to it, sure. But I don't know. Sometimes
we have to find the right kind
of
game show.
Well, that's just
it. I was going to ask, which show? Pressure Luck? What show?
Honestly, but more so than a game show, I think I would prefer like a talk show. I would prefer to do like a – like I think what Jimmy Fallon is doing with The Tonight Show is fantastic.
Yes, I agree.
Like he's made it fun again and like
– although people say he wasn't too hard on Trump. And he took a lot of slack for that.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, they said he let him off easy.
Okay, well, first of all, he's not a journalist.
Right.
No, I understand.
You know, like, I mean.
But they said that he humanized Trump and normalized him.
Who cares?
Well, but I mean, it's not his job.
No, it's not.
It's Matt Lauer's job, and Matt Lauer failed. But like if you think about it, like back in the day when it was Johnny Carson hosting it, like they did stuff like this all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like he's brought that back, and I really like it.
Hall of Fame players Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson famously kissed each other on the cheek moments before tip-off of Game 1 in the 1988 NBA Finals.
So they only did it once?
No, yes. They did it before.
No, it was just the one time.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the cheek.
I'm going to Google it.
Today, the relationship clearly isn't anywhere near as close.
No, they don't get along anymore. No. So, but our final question before we close it tonight, I got concert to go to. What game show would you pick? Like, I know you said you might not do a game
like
show.
Of all time or like
the yeah, like any, like love any, connection anything
like maybe bring something back
Wheel
like
of Fortune
bring something back
anything press your luck
or yeah anything that's on
Price
now
is right,
or
because I think Price is Right you actually get to talk to the contestants more as opposed to like a Wheel of Fortune where you're just like hey how are you what can you tell me about yourself
or,
in like 2 seconds
what's Jeopardy, the same thing. What's the
honestly, I think like Hollywood Squares would be fun to do.
Yeah, that would be good.
That
for
would
you.
Be a fun
yeah.
one to do. I think that
although,
would be fun.
I think we'd need to bring back Hollywood Squares.
Although I will say that the host really didn't get to do the lines. The celebrities did. Unless you're the center square.
I was
going
to say, I guess maybe I would prefer to be like center square because like Paul Lynde was like center square for like decades.
Yep.
Right, because I mean he deserved it, but I don't know. Like, maybe that or yeah, it would have to be one. Probably yeah, Price is Right or something where like you interact.
What about the?
Because that's what I like doing. Even when I do my stand up, like a good portion of my stand up set is like talking with the audience and like, you know, messing with them and like you know stuff like that. So that's what I enjoy doing.
You guys scare Rochelle from seeing you perform.
What about the one Wayne Brady just started it back up?
Oh, Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal.
Nah,
I think that would be good.
I don't think I would like that.
No,
I don't really understand a little bit of that show. Just the.
I think those people are just too crazy.
They are.
Yeah, it's the crazy people.
It's
and
like
even,
a Halloween party year
and,
round.
And even just like the, I don't know, just like the premise of it, like. Door 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
Ah, you're a loser. Like, I don't know. It's just like
it's supposed to be funny. There's a goat behind
it. Yeah, but it just
would
get so old so quick.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right. We'll be back next Tuesday. Thank you, Cody Stamen, for calling in and ripping on yourself and then giving us an interview. We'll be back next Tuesday. Everybody take care.
See ya.
This is a previously recorded episode.